Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 253, the sixth stanza, "That man is blessed whom thou, O Lord, with chastening hand dost teach thy will. For in the day when sinners fall, that man in peace abideth still." The sixth stanza of Psalter 253.
That we wish to read this morning, you can find in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and thereof the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but first we will read the holy law of the Lord. "And God spake all these words," Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, not distressed, but we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, for the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the for which cause for our life, which are not seen, or no.
We hope to remember in prayer the infant Mariah the Young, who is waiting for an open bed in the hospital in Lethbridge. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we have heard out of thy holy law, thy command for us that we are to set aside the first day of the week, that thy holy day is a day wherein that we are to do no labors in this world, and that we may be given to rest therefrom. And because thou thyself has rested upon that seventh day, but that we may be given also to enter into that rest that we can read in thy holy word, that thou hast entered into when thou didst rise from the dead, when thou hast conquered all sin and its consequences, when thou hast shown thy power over the prince of darkness, so that he was not able to hold thee in the grave. Lord, that we also may experience something of that power, that also in this thy holy day, when we may gather now on the first day of the week, oh, that it may not be a burden unto us. For thou knowest our natural hearts, that they do cleave to everything that is here below. And then it could be that many of us have come up in this morning in a way of mere form and of mere custom, so that it is a burden to lay aside all the labors, but also the pleasures that can be found in this world, to come unto thy house of prayer and to be gathered round thy word of truth. O Lord, then each and every one of us is born in such a state of death, so that there is nothing, there is not one cry, there is not one sigh, there is nothing that goes out from our heart to thee, the true and the living God. O Lord, thou, the God of heaven and of earth, who has paid the price, who has descended into heaven, who now sits at the right hand of thy Father, that thou mayest bring in thy people, are able to make it so different with us, whether that we are the youngest child here in our midst, or whether we are the very oldest. O Lord, thou art able to draw our hearts in these moments. We look up unto thee, O Lord, and we ask thee for thy power, for thy presence, for the shining of thy face upon us and upon our dear children. And thou hast spared us together for these many years as a minister and as congregation. And we may acknowledge thee, that thou thyself has brought us together, and that thou thyself has kept us together for these many years, that thou hast supplied in all of our needs. Lord, thou knowest yet also our weakness. Oh, we beseech thee, if it could be according to thy holy will, that thou may give unto us health and strength once again. Oh, Lord, then we desire that we may be able to do the labors of our hands here amongst this, the flock over which thou hast placed us. Thou didst give in thy word, that thou didst speak of that vineyard, how that tree that was to be dunged, and it was to be tilled about. O Lord, then it was the desire of that servant, that he may dig about it, that he may dung it yet for a little time. that he may see if there may be any growth. O Lord, could it please thee also to give as such an opportunity yet unto us in the midst of this our flock, and that thou may give also fruits upon the many labors that are put forth here in the preaching and in the reading, in the visiting, in the catechizing, in the confession classes, O Lord, and that thou thyself may bless, and that thou may supply for all our needs as a minister, but also as consistory. Give that there may be in the midst of us also Aaron's and hers, that may bear us up on the wings of prayer, and that thou wouldst hear from heaven, O Lord, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive and heal us, that we may once again go forward in thy name. Lord, that thou may give that young and old together may receive also the blessing upon the labors, because it will be for us a great woe when we have heard and when we have known the way, but then we have not walked therein. Oh, what shall eternity be, having been brought up under thy truth, and then having perished under it also? Oh, Lord, could it please thee then to give us a cry in our hearts while it is still called today, and that thou may also feed thy people? Lord, thy servant did say, who is sufficient for these things? And then we are not able in and of ourselves, but oh, could it please thee to grant unto us words in our mouth, matters in our heart, that there may be food and drink for those whom thou hast made alive, and that there may be a growing in that grace, that there may be a decreasing in self, a becoming more and more unworthy from our side, so that thy grace that thou showest in thy only begotten Son may be here upon this earth already and forever glorified. Oh, has man then lived in vain, who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave, with all its ruinous power? O cause that also each of us in our life may seek, that we may not perish at the end of our life. Lord, convert us unto thee. Care thou for all, each and every one, for there are many that are afflicted. Thou knowest what those afflictions are. Also in the midst of us, remember, from the youngest to the oldest, because then it begins in our midst, even with those who are so very, very young. The little child that remains yet in the hospital, oh, then we may so acknowledge thee in this day, when thou hast even brought the mother into our midst in this morning hour. Oh, do humble their hearts before thee under thy great, great goodness. And oh, could it please thee to strengthen mother and child together. Oh, thou knowest what is with this child. Oh, Lord, thou art above it all, but thou art able to make it for profit. Oh, may it be a child born to be born again. And wilt thou bless them with their children, all the children. There are other ones, there are young ones, and that already in their young life must suffer. There are young people also. Oh, Lord, thou knowest there are young and that there are old, the old ones in the nursing home, when life that draws unto a close, when the body that breaks down, when the mind is not able to function anymore. O Lord, wilt thou remember them also in old age? And wilt thou appear unto them for their good while it is still a day of grace? Remember all those that mourn, those that must miss their loved ones, that go over this world so alone. O Lord, that thou may be near unto them, and that they may feel something of thy presence, and that thy nearness may be precious unto them, and that on all the help that they may receive in this their burden, and may draw their hearts also to love and to seek to know thee, as they must know for that great eternity. Remember thou then young and old together, families, mothers, fathers, children, young people. Remember those that are not married. Remember those that have difficulties in marriage. O Lord, the troubles in this world, they are so very many. But O thou art also standing above it. Look upon all thy truly sent servants, all the students that do go forth also in this day. O that thou wouldst in this thy holy day send thy spirit forth with great power, that it may be for the edification of thy people, and that it may be for the glory of thy name in the conversion of sinners, and that we and our children may not be left behind as we travel together to that great eternity. Look upon also the mission field and all those that labor therein. Give that thy word may go to both Jew and Gentile. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake, the Jewish nation in their blindness. Thou art able to open their eyes and to take away the veil from their hearts, or that they may be given to recognize and to see who that thou art, and that they may acknowledge thee, and that thou wouldst deliver thy people. O Lord, we are each together approaching that great end of this world, when we see all the signs about us multiplying, cause us to hasten for the sake of our life, and that we in this day may receive what we may have never received before in our life. Oh, do it, Lord, not for our sakes, because we are unworthy thereof. Oh, we acknowledge our guilt. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge our departure, our leaving of thee days without number. But, O Lord God of heaven and the earth, will the dead praise thee? O Lord, shall we praise thee in the grave? O, could it please thee then to do it, for thy great and thy holy name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 174, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. And what follows in the second and the fourth stanza, we announce that baptism has been rescheduled, the Lord willing, for August the 28th in the afternoon service. And the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment, 174, 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. beloved congregation, today marks the last day of 10 years in your midst. For a full decade, the Lord has joined and has bound us together in that blessed bond that there may be between a minister and his congregation. That is always a relation that has a purpose. It is not a temporal purpose, but it is a spiritual purpose. It is not an earthly purpose, but it is a heavenly purpose. It is a purpose that is given by God Himself to do His own will in the midst of His church. We know that Paul says that he was to some a savior of death, unto death. What an awful thought. And to others, that he was a savior of life, unto life. Thus, how shall it be with each and every one of us? But Paul, he also says to the Corinthians, he says, that I was with you in weakness. That is, he says, I was with you in frailty. That is, in the weakness of the flesh. Some of you will remember how that 10 years ago that we have begun also with this chapter written by the Apostle Paul, and that we had spoken out of the 7th verse, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Earthen vessels. What is an earthen vessel? That is something that is made out of clay, out of the earth, and that is very weak in itself, that is very breakable in itself. How true that has proven to be. And we had not thought at that time to experience it in such a way as we have had to experience it in these past years. However, Paul says also that it has a reason. And that is, he says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are robbers of the honor of God, and God will have His own honor. Our affliction, that is because of our relationship as minister and congregation, and that also naturally also becomes your affliction. Because we are not able to do all the labors as we ought. And we wish at this time, in these moments, to acknowledge your great patience and your understanding and your support in the years that are now lying behind us. The future we do not know. We have to take one day at a time. Could it please the Lord to give us to remain with one another, that we may still be of service to you, but above all, that that His way with both us and with both and you yourselves may be sanctified may be blessed. And to that end, we wish to consider what we have read together out of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So far, the words of our text, which speak about a sanctified perception of afflictions. First, a sanctified perception of the weight of afflictions, because the apostle, he says, for our light affliction. And second, a sanctified perception of the working of afflictions, because he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Thus, a sanctified perception of afflictions, at first, the weight of afflictions, and second, the working of afflictions. Affliction, congregation, that is not only upon us, but there is no man in this world that is exempt from affliction. That is the portion of the human race. Often we have heard that expression, and that every house has its own cross, and that every heart that has its own pain. Of course, there are great differences in afflictions. Some afflictions are very great and heavy. Other afflictions are less so. Some afflictions are visible. Everyone can see them. Other afflictions, they are more hidden. Some afflictions are internal. Others, they are external. Some afflictions, they are natural. And other afflictions, they are spiritual. And then there are those for whom it seems that afflictions are multiplied, as if they have to bear so many afflictions in this world, one after the other. Only think about Job. How was that then in the life of the Apostle Paul? Because he says, for our light affliction. Thus, what was that affliction that the Apostle Paul, he is speaking about? Well, we can read that out of his own words. Because the Apostle Paul, he speaks about nakedness. He speaks about poverty. He speaks about homelessness. He speaks about shipwreck. The Apostle Paul, he also had very many enemies. He says that he was the offscouring of all things. He was despised by men in this world. And we know that he was stoned, that he was scourged, that he was left at one point even as one that was dead. That he was imprisoned, that the afflictions in this life because of the enemies, they were very much multiplied. And then Paul, he had also very much work to do in the churches. And we can read that the apostle says of that work when he writes also to the Corinthians, that he says, out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you. And then we see the apostle Paul, and that he is attending the churches in Asia Minor, and that there is very much opposition, and that there was very much corruption within the churches, which was all to the grief of his heart. And we can read also in this chapter his own words. He says, we are troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. For, and then he says, our light affliction, that is something that Paul can take a view of all those afflictions in his life and say, for our light affliction, because who of us would be envious at the apostle for that life that he had to live in this world? And who of us, even looking upon ourselves, would dare to call the apostle Paul's afflictions to be light? Thus, how is it that Paul himself does call them light? Is it that Paul had a careless disregard of those afflictions? Is it that he was indifferent to those afflictions? Well, that he was insensible to them. And we can read that it was not so, because he writes, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Thus Paul was a man like you and I. Paul was a man that certainly was not insensible to everything that did lay upon him. And yet he says, for our light affliction. How can he say that? Well, how do we know if something is light or if something is heavy? You say, well, then we put it in a scale, and then we weigh it. And that is now what the apostle is speaking of here also in this verse. The apostle speaks here in this verse about a balance in our text, because he speaks about light afflictions, and on the other side he speaks about the weight of glory. Children, you know what a balance is. Well, maybe you do not know what a balance is, because we do not see them so often anymore. Today we use a scale and we know how heavy something is. But years ago, and then a balance was used. Thus there was a pan on either side. And what you wanted to know the weight of, you would place on the one side. And on the other side, then you would place standard weights that you knew how heavy that they were. So that balance, that was only that you may be able to compare those two weights together. And then you may know if something is light or if something is heavy. Well, you say, those are then terms that are nothing more than a comparison. We say they are relative to something else. It is light compared to what? Or it is heavy compared to what? And now the apostle, he puts all of his afflictions, and he puts them in one side, as it were, of this balance. And he says that those afflictions are light. He says, for our light affliction. How can he say that? Well, what was it that he was putting in the other side of that balance compared to which those afflictions, they were so very light? Well, what do we put on the other side of the balance? When we want to weigh our afflictions, then we look about us. And then we say, well, there is a boy, children. There is a boy who has to suffer as such and such. And there is a girl that has this wrong or that wrong, or who has that burden to carry in their life. There are some that always feel that they have themselves the heaviest burden, boys and girls. That is not a good thing. It is a good thing if you may look about you a little bit and see that there are those that have to carry burdens that are much heavier than your own. How was it now with the Apostle Paul? Is that what the Apostle Paul has done so that he may say for our light affliction, because he has placed the afflictions of others in that balance along with his afflictions, and then he says, well, the burdens of other people, they are very much greater than my burdens. That is not so. Indeed, it is just the opposite, because if Paul also would have to be honest with himself, then he could easily see that most people in this world, they did not have to suffer the greatness and the multitude of the afflictions that the Apostle Paul had to suffer for the sake of the kingdom of God and the bringing in of God's true people. Thus, how is it that Paul, he says, for our light affliction, what is Paul then laying in the other side of that balance? Well, we can read that he is laying on the other side, we read, the eternal weight of glory. Thus, Paul finds something to lay on that other side that is of a tremendous weight, that is of a weight so much greater than the afflictions that he had to bear. And he makes a comparison in the first place of the endurance of his afflictions with the endurance of that weight of, he says, glory, that weight of glory. And what is the endurance of that weight of glory? He says it is an eternal weight of glory. And then in by way of comparison, then he says, for our light affliction, which, he says, is but for a moment, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Which is, he says, but for a moment. What is that affliction that the Lord has laid upon you? You say, maybe I have to bear it, it looks like, to the end of my life. That may be. But that is not long. Say that it is not long. I hope it is long. I hope I may live to 70 or to 80. I hope I may live to 100 years old. So be it. But that is not long. No, ask those who are climbing in their age up to 100 years old. And what will they tell you? then they will tell you that indeed it is not long. And so the apostle says, he says, it is but for a moment. And soon, congregation, we are going to agree with the apostle. Only lay it for a moment in that balance with eternity. And very quickly you are going to see the end in view. Thus, that is in the first place, the Apostle Paul, he compares the length, the endurance of those afflictions with the endurance of that weight of glory. But then he compares also something else. Then he compares not only the endurance, but the glory of that eternity. And then he calls it, he uses four words. He says, a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So he does not only say that it is an eternal weight of glory, but he says also that is an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And not only an exceeding and eternal weight of glory, but a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And not only a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, but he says a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is that view that Paul has of that glory in eternity, in which he is laying in that other side of that balance. And then he says as if that it is actually inexpressible, that that balance that is not fit to give that comparison between the afflictions that he has to endure in this life and that great glory that is to follow, a far more enduring, exceeding, and eternal weight of glory. He says it is an excess of excess. He says that it is an exceeding of exceedingly. Thus, he says, actually, it is really inexpressible to the Romans. Then Paul has written that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with that glory which shall be revealed in us. Then he says to them that it is not even able to come into this balance. And thus we can understand that Paul is saying, for our light affliction, for what man in this world, when he may lay his afflictions in this balance, would he not have to call his own afflictions light? It was in this balance that the martyrs did lay their afflictions. And they may call them light, not accepting deliverance, even though they had trial of cruel scourgings and mockings and bonds and imprisonment, even though that they were stoned and that they were sawn asunder and that they were tempted and that they were slain with the sword and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. But their afflictions they may lay in this balance with that eternal weight of glory, and they may say with the Apostle Paul, for our light affliction, which is but a moment. That is now the balance in which Christ is also balancing the afflictions that he is laying upon the shoulders of his people. And when he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, even though that he is calling them to forsake houses and brethren and sisters and fathers and mothers and wives and children and lands for his own sake. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And therefore the apostle, he also says here, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then Paul, he says, day by day, though in the body, in the flesh, that we decrease, yet the inward man is renewed to go forward. It is strengthened in it, waiting for the help and the strength of the Lord. For which cause, he says, we faint not. And what was that cause? He says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And where does that life come from? He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Thus he says, for which cause we faint not. Why? It is in the hope of the resurrection of the dead. He says, for the sake of Christ. That is in the hope of the spiritual resurrection of the dead, to those that he may minister unto, and that hope of that final resurrection of the dead, both for himself and for his people, when he says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. And thus the apostles' afflictions, they become in this light, very light, in that balance with the eternal weight of glory, or are our afflictions that we have to endure in this life also seen in such a sanctified way. But there is more. We want to sing first Psalter 107, 1, 2, and 4. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 107. sanctified perception of afflictions. First, the weight of afflictions. Second, the working of afflictions. And why do we say that? Paul, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Worketh for us. What is that? To work for us. That is to accomplish for us. That is to achieve for us. To work it out. To bring it about. To see something of this in your afflictions, as well as to see something of the lightness of those afflictions in comparison with that great eternity which are but for a moment, to see these two things belongs to that sanctified perception of them, how that a man will see and view the afflictions that he has to endure in his life. Because Paul, he says, not only are they light, but that they are also necessary. Why necessary? Because they are in themselves even the means which the Lord is using that I may secure that eternal weight of glory. The Lord Jesus says, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the Apostle Paul, he says, how hardly shall a man without afflictions enter into that kingdom of heaven? Why? It is not that afflictions have any inherent power in themselves, because if that were true, the whole world would be converted. No. Job's wife, she said, curse God and die. And that is now living in all of our hearts, in an unsanctified view of our afflictions. They only make our heart the harder. Therefore, never ask that the Lord may give to you afflictions. But in the life of the church, the Apostle Paul says, and that these are very often the means that the Lord is using to work out that salvation that he will give unto his church, and therefore that church should not be so surprised at them. And not only so surprised at them, but that they also should not rebel against them. Those afflictions can be a very great temptation. They were so for Asaph. He was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. What a plague that they can be. Even when you read the Word of God, when those afflictions did multiply in your life, did you never read in the Word of God that he says that the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous should put forth his hand unto iniquity? And then so comes the devil to say that you cannot belong to that people. Look how that the friends of Job did bring such words upon him in his afflictions. What do you read in Psalm 92? You read that the righteous, they shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And why? Well, because the Lord will show himself to be righteous. They shall be fat. They shall be flourishing. And then you say, then I cannot belong unto that people. But how often does that church have a not a right view as they are living in their carnality and as they are cleaving to the dust in this world, a right view of what that really means to flourish like the palm tree and to grow like a cedar in Lebanon. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How? While, he says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we, what do we look at? Do we look at the things that are seen? Or do we look at the things that are not seen? You may ask yourself that question between yourself and the Lord even in this moment. How was it this week? Did you look at the things that are seen? Or did you look at the things that are not seen? Did you look at the things that are temporal? Or did you look at those things which are eternal? Boys and girls, how was it with you? Fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, even to old age. People of the Lord. Oh, how we are looking. Always at those things that are seen, those things that are temporal. And if the Lord has now taught you by times to look at those things that are not seen, how is it that you were brought in such a way? Or was there no place of afflictions, less or more, in that working, so that the Lord would draw you to look at those things that are not seen? It is a rare thing for a man's heart to be rent from all that is in this world without at all the use of afflictions in this world. Afflictions, they are the means of discipline. And that is necessary. Why? Because Solomon, he says, a child that is left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so it is. And by nature, we have our faces to the ground and to everything that is in the world. And then we go into the ground in such a way. And then we go in such a way into that eternal pit. There is a great power necessary in order to make a man to look upon the things that are unseen. It is the power of regeneration. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, wherein the Lord will give faith. What is that? The substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. Very often necessary that the Lord brings in our life that we have to experience a great disappointment in all that the world has to offer, so that we have to suffer afflictions in this life. And then even after received grace, because then a man has to experience that the Lord, his will, stands above my will. Job, he says that in my distress, I think that is not the right words, that he called unto the Lord. He says it was out of the belly of hell, that he cried unto God. And then he had to learn, not my will, but thine be done. What did Naomi say? She said, call me not Naomi. She said, call me Mara. For the Lord had dealt very bitterly with me. Congregation, some of us are afflicted in the body, even the children, little child in the hospital, some of your children, our youth, the body, young people. Body, you say, that does not work the way that it was created to work, that can be very heavy. Pain, sickness, a very serious disease. What do you say of it? You say, is it heavy? Is it heavy? Or is it light? May you weigh it once in the balance. And that balance that Paul is speaking about here. Weigh it once in that balance with eternity. And if you may weigh it once there, then you will say like the Apostle Paul, that it is but for a moment. But is it now working anything? Because he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Thus those of you that have to suffer in the body, whatever that is it now working for you? Is it now working a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory? When you may feel something of death in your body, when you may feel something of the shortness of your life, when you may experience something of the seriousness of your life, is it then working something that you may depart from the ways of sin? Because Peter writes that he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, and that he may not live any longer in the days of his flesh after the lust of men, but after the will of God. Does that suffering then give you to feel, to see something of the cause, the evil of sin, that you may hate it, that you may depart from it, and that you may seek to be delivered from it, in order that you may receive a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? Some that are afflicted in their minds may be relentless fears, unreasonable fears. There are some people, they die 1,000 deaths before they die. The Apostle Paul, he wrote about it. He says, who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But is it working anything? Is it working for you? That far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. When you, through fear of death, may more than others in this world, day by day, contemplate your heavenly judge? Or is it working for you that you may be prepared to one day stand before that judge, that you may seek a mediator, and that you may have wherewith to stand before him without fear, so that you will be able to say that my light affliction, which was but for a moment, did work in me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Afflictions. There are some people, they have been abused in their youth. Great affliction that goes with them throughout the rest of their life. Can be so hard. Why? Especially because it was done by other people. Is it heavy? May you say sometimes that it is light. Does it work something for you? In the decree of the Lord, that you may experience something, the filth of your heart, the anger that lives there, the revenge that lives there, the rebelliousness that lives there, that we would kick against the providences of the Lord. Does it work for you? Or may you ever behold by faith something of the sufferings of him that may suffer even by the hand of his own friends. It's a traitor, and that innocently. Who could say which of you convinceth me of sin? There are some congregation that mourn the losses of father, mother, wife, husband, children, friend, close friend. There is no affliction that is light in and of itself. None. Otherwise, it would be no affliction. Though these are in our view in and of themselves, they are very, very heavy. And we have to go through this life all by ourselves. But may you say sometimes that it is light. And is it now working something? That missing that you experience here below may lead you to miss him whom you have left in paradise? Or is it working for you a far more exceeding weight of glory? There are some of us that are afflicted in our families. Difficulties in a marriage. Husband, wife, children, they are wayward, disobedient, drunken maybe, left the truth, no desire for the truth. Weighty. In and of itself, that can make a man go so bowed down over this world. But may you now weigh it, sometimes in that balance. And does it now work something for yourself, that you may feel something of how helpless that you are? How small that you are. That you may feel something of how sinful that you are. That it is not just my spouse or my child, but that rebelliousness, that is something that lives now within my own heart. Is it working? And will it prove one day and all that the Lord has given us, laid upon us to suffer, will it now prove one day to have also worked for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding weight of glory, weaning a man from this world while he is looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, made to live more like a stranger, more like a pilgrim on this earth, walking more on that narrow way that leadeth unto life for our light affliction. By moments, there is a people who may bless God for it. They are moments. They are moments that are by faith. They are moments that they may see it in a sanctified way. Do you know what those moments are? Those moments are going to be lengthened. The Lord is going to make those moments into hours. He's going to make those moments into days, to months, into years. He's going to make those moments into an eternity, that they may bless him. That they may bless him when they may look from above down upon the work of that great weaver, at that which before they had only seen from underneath. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. Give us faith to believe in thee. And wilt thou give us also such a sanctified view as thy apostle may speak about it in thy word, and that the way in that thou leadest us as minister, but also this our flock and the many burdens that are experienced in our lives, that they would be all together working for us that far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Lord, give us to look continually at the things which are not seen. Wilt thou be with us further in this day? Help him that will bring thy word in this afternoon. Strengthen him for this labor. Fill him with thy spirit, with the unction from on high, that we may receive an eternal blessing. Do forgive and take away our many, many sins also of this hour. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is Psalter 429 in the fourth stanza, and we ask the congregation to please remain seated after we sing. Psalter 429, the fourth stanza. Lord, though I walk through troubles sore, thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. And what follows in the fourth stanza of Psalter 429.
reverence than in this special occasion, then it is also fitting that we speak a few words on behalf of the consistory and the congregation. Then it is 10 years ago tomorrow, the Lord willing, that you came to Alberta, to Fort McLeod. For Fort McLeod, it was the first minister. 45 years without a minister, and now we may have you in our midst for 10 years. It was, as it were, a little bit an uprooting for you out of your own place where you were born and raised. You left your mother behind. You came as a young family, not to a total strange place. You had been here before. But now we may see your family is much expanded. You have children married, grandchildren married. In our midst, we hope, and I think we may believe, you have a home here in Fort McLeod. And you may, with the Lord's help, has labored in the midst of the congregation. Yeah, what we have seen then, we have seen children baptized, children born, children baptized, married young people. We have also seen funerals, affliction. We have seen it time and time again. You spoke about it lengthily in this morning. What is now affliction? And where does it now bring us? Huh? And then I thought to say a few words on Psalm 90. And that is a psalm that is also, as it were, often used with milestones. It mentions in there our days, what they are, that we count our days. 10 years, it seems long for some of us, for some of the young children here. They only know that we have a minister on the pulpit. For the older ones, 10 years, like you said this morning, it is not so long. Time goes so fast. But in Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, then it speaks also, when was Moses, when he wrote this psalm? It was when they were in the wilderness, also in affliction. They were there because of sin. And then Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and he prayed these words also. First, it says in verse 15, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years where we have seen evil. And on verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And now that is what we may now point to, then it is your labors in our midst, but it is thy work, and that thy work that points now to the work of Christ. That work that is now a work that cannot be done by man, but it is now man may stand on the pulpit because of that work, that Christ has now come upon this earth, that he has now been afflicted for his church, for his people, that you know from Sabbath day to Sabbath day may point to that work, how he has now fulfilled that counsel of the Father, how he has now come in the fullness of time to fulfill that work, that the attributes of the Father may now be restored, and that now may be brought from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. You have been given to do that. You may have been given to blow that trumpet, to say these matters. And that is now what is so what we now hope and pray for, that you for many more years may do in our midst, that you may now receive that from the Lord, also that work may more and more for you personally may open up, and that you may now see more and more that fullness in that work of Christ, and that also then may be coming on the pulpit more and more unto brought unto us. And is that then for everyone? No, that is like you said this morning, because there's much affliction in this world. There is much grief in this world. But affliction does not bring us upon the right place, but that work of Christ that shall now bring us there. That work shall now save the church. And now what it says at Satan, and thy glory unto their children. You spoke about that glory. And that is now also what it is now all about. That glory of God may now shine forth to his honor, to his glory. And then there shall be a people that may now experience that, that may now receive something of that glory. And then it is such a blessing when we may have that sound trumpet blow from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. I hope the Lord may grant that for many more years you may yet labor in this congregation and bring that work what the Lord has now wrought, and that we may now see the fruits thereof. Then it is not in the first place that man shall be saved, but in the first place that the Lord will receive his honor and his glory. And then it shall maybe not always be easy, but we hope that the Lord will give you strength to do that, and that it may it continue for many years, that the Lord may so bless your labors, that he may remember us as congregation, because once we shall have to give an account also of that word, that work, that the Lord has given unto you to bring into our midst. Let us sing, congregation, in closing, from Psalter 444, stanzas 2 and 9. Stanzas 2 and 9 from Psalter 444. And that we will sing standing in the place of the doxology.
Thank you, Mr. Moons, for your kind and heartfelt words. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.